All right. Looks like there's some new subscribers. Let me just say this to the new people. It's faith alone in Jesus alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. The world has brainwashed you in works, levels, ranks, grades, ratings, family dynamics, jobs, that you got to work hard to be good enough. Well, Jesus alone saves, because he's the only righteous one. And you appropriate that by faith alone. Now, to the series of messages that are going to be so important, I'm going to show you why the dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace are so important to digest that if you don't digest it, you're going to go your whole life in confusion. Now, before I talk about it, let me say this, because this is on my mind. You know, anybody that has studied the truth their whole life and learned from their mistakes, other people's mistakes, I would observe, even as a child, I watched, and if it's a woman, a saved woman, yes, men can have the Jezebel spirit too. So I'm not attacking women per se. I'm just telling you how the Jezebel spirit works and what I've observed. So growing up, I saw the Jezebel spirit. I didn't know what it was exactly, but I saw it in the family members, sister, mom, cousins, aunts, uncles, stuff like that. I saw their Jezebel spirit where they hated authority. And they actually got pleasure out of other people getting hurt, or they got pleasure of getting over on somebody. Now, there's people like this. I forgot they exist until recently. They actually get enjoyment when somebody else is hurting. I forgot these people existed. Now, where this comes from, it usually comes from a family, a cultic type family, where they all enable each other to be sick. They're codependent and enablers of each other's sickness. And if somebody's laughing at somebody else getting hurt, nobody says nothing. If somebody's laughing because they got over on somebody, nobody says nothing, calls them out on it. And usually these kind of people have been in this dynamic their whole life, and it's so ingrained, the stronghold is so ingrained in the person that they will never escape. Now, when God sends a real truther, a Bible truther, somebody who can rightly divide the word of truth, somebody who's spiritually discernible, they know that these people can discern the truth. Somebody who's spiritually discerned, in other words, you can cut the truth so far that it's like cutting a steak into little pieces, you know. You can cut that baked potato into such small pieces that it blows people's mind. So when they run across somebody who knows the truth, who's already dealt with Jezebel, who's already dealt with Delilah, who's already overcome the world, the flesh, pride of life, we're still here, so we're all still struggling. But I'm talking about somebody who can see it a mile away. When they face off with that kind of person, they think that they're going to change that person into a copy of them. In other words, the Jezebel psychopath thinks she's going to make you into a copy of her. Really? That's how prideful they are. And they use their insecurities to pull you in, and then they use their pride to try to destroy you. And then when you step out of it, and they see the tables have turned, but the tables actually turned the first time you met them, because you knew them before you even met them, because you've seen copies of them your whole life. You were married to a Jezebel. You dated a Jezebel. You were raised around Jezebel. You've worked with Jezebels. You know who they are. Birds of a feather flock together. They're just like the other ones you've seen your whole life. So from day one, the tables turned. You tried to pull them out of it. And after enough interactions, you just will start to withdraw yourself. And so when you start to withdraw yourself from the narcissistic Jezebel psychopath, they know it. They know it. They pull you in with fake reality bubble. It wasn't real. they might have believed it was real, but the more you talk to them, the more you realize these people had their own Bible, had their own beliefs. They didn't want to submit to God's word. They wanted to use parts of God's word that supported their reality. But when you realize somebody is just playing games, they're just telling you what you want to hear because their words and their actions don't line up. So the tables turned from the day one. But you thought, well, maybe I can help them see the light. And after, let's say, 11 interactions, you say, I'm done. And because you saw their contradictions, their gaslighting, their lies, their half-truths, their weird doctrine, you know, you saw the insanity of their life, really. And you saw people around them who were insane who wouldn't even talk to them. You're like, okay, so why wouldn't these people talk to this person? Is it because this person's a truther and they're afraid? No. The other people seem to be normal. This person seems to be were they a truther? Really? From the get-go? No, they were opposite. They projected it. They used those other people to try to make them look good. Just like they were trying to use you to make them look good to the other people. In other words, what I'm saying is, it's like identity transfer. These people are sick. They're sick. I mean, so they got people around them that are normal, and they try to get you around them to make you think they're normal. And then they pull you in, who's normal, and they're trying to use you to make those people think that they've changed and they're normal. They're actually taking identities of other people around them and trying to project it onto the other people to make everybody think they're normal when they're abnormal. It's sick. I mean, when you step out and you look at that, you're like, oh, they're abnormal, but their flying monkeys know they're abnormal, so they're going away. So they bring somebody else in to make their flying monkeys think, well, maybe they're normal after all. And then they're bringing you around the flying monkeys that have rejected them to make you think that they're normal because these people are normal. But then you notice the flying monkeys don't even want to talk to them anymore. And so it's like an identity crisis that they're trying to put on different people. Like, well, maybe I was wrong, you know, the flying monkeys who stepped away, maybe I was wrong about her. Okay, she's got somebody that's got it going on. And then you go in, you say, maybe the red flags that I'm taking notes about, maybe I'm wrong because the people around her seem to be normal. But then when you start to put all the puzzle pieces together, you say, wait a minute, they're just using normal people to make themselves look normal when they're just a psychopath. They're psychopathic. And they can't function by themselves. So they have to bring people in and try to turn them into psychopaths. And the way they do it is so bizarre that all you have to do is watch Flash and Anti-Flash interact, right? So they're mimicking Flash with the Anti-Flash, and they're taking those truths that are in the Bible and actually putting it on them to worship themselves. So they want to be worshipped. Okay, so here's the Queen Bee Syndrome. Let me call it a queen bee narcissistic Jezebel psychopath, okay? So anytime you see a queen bee worship me, she's a queen bee narcissistic Jezebel psychopath. Not just a queen bee, but a queen bee narcissistic Jezebel psychopath. So when you step back and you start to withdraw yourself, they ramp it up. They ramp it up. And then finally, when you go away for a few months, and out of the blue, they show up and they talk a good talk. You say, okay, you know to save your notes for a year, at least a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years, because you want to write a book about it. You know, eventually you want to write a book about this because it's so bizarre. If you're a spirit-filled believer and they're pretending to be spirit-filled, and then you already know as soon as you walk in the door, something ain't right. And, just the way they talk, the way they act, what their habits, their addictions, their, you know, something ain't right about this person. So you just say, oh, okay, I think I'm done. The day one, then they keep doing the, they know you know. from day one. But they try to keep on and on and on. And then day two, you start to pull away. Day three, day four, day five. After about day six, you know you're getting ready to leave, and they know you're getting ready to leave, so they ramp it up even more. Day seven, day eight. What they're trying to do is use you and your identity and your character and your power and your blessings from God, because they're cursed. The queen bee, narcissistic, psychopathic Jezebel delusion, the Delulu is under curse of God. And when you realize they're under a curse, you get away. And when you get away, everything starts to clear up, and God forces you away. Now, here's what's happening in the spirit realm. I talked to a sister in Christ about this recently. So you are in the kingdom of light. They're in the kingdom of darkness. So the spirit of truth is in you. The spirit of lies and error is in them. E-R-R-O-R. The two shall never mix. And so God is going to remove them out of your life, because you want the truth. You want the truth. And they want lies. The two shall never mix. Oil and water don't mix. Oil and water don't mix. Oil and water don't mix. The tables turn from day one, but when you finally withdrew all your energy, all your words, all your effort, all your trying to get them to see the light, see the truth, when you remove it all, when you remove it all, when you remove all that energy and all that truth and all that blessings away from them, guess what happens? They have to come up with an explanation. They have to come up with some kind of justification, which goes back to being under law. So they're under law. They're not under grace. And so they're trying to make everything happen by works, you know. And so they're working hard, and they want you working hard for Queen Bee. They want you kissing their feet and all that, but they will never return the favor. You know, Jesus said, they want you to wash their feet, but they'll never wash your feet. Everything about them is upside down. Jesus talked about the children. Children are great because they have that pure heart, right? And these psychopaths hate children because they have an evil heart. And every time they look at that child with a pure heart, it reminds them of the path that they took down a road of destruction. So what happens is, when you withdraw yourself, they'll pull in somebody else to try to match your energy. They don't love that person. They didn't really love you. They don't even love themselves. How can they love you or the next person if they never love themselves? They don't. It's impossible. A psychopath wants to get caught because they hate themselves and they want somebody to catch them. And they want to make copies of themselves. And they've got to have somebody as a scapegoat to push their sin onto the other person. They've got to have that scapegoat, because they won't run to Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. I don't deserve anything," because their pride. They think they're God deep down. They think they're a god or a goddess. Now, when you go back, let's say you do separate from somebody for a month or two, and you go back and you see this person, you can tell that they've aged and they're under stress, and they start to forget what they said to you. They start to say to you what they're saying to the new one. You know they're a liar. This is why I tell you, take your time. The reason they want to rush, because they know if they lock you in, you can't see their patterns. If they force you to rush things, they can't fool you, because the patterns reveal it. So they want to lock you in, right? This is so important, but I gotta get some food here. So let me just try it. I gotta get in here and get this done, but let me lock this in here. You go away, and they crying. You know, they're the next one they couldn't control, or they might even be on a third one. So the third person, they think they can. Let's say the second one they couldn't control and manipulate. And then they try to pull you back in. You go back and you say, okay, I know this person is a liar. I know they're lost, but maybe something, maybe they had a, because they always say, I see it in a new light. So you say, well, maybe they, okay, so let me just see if they do have a new light. A new perspective. Looks good. Starting to look good. Boom, then something hits and it's like all Hades breaks loose and you say, I gotta get out of here. And you see that they've aged, they're confused, they're more confused, they're drinking more, they're more, their mind is, you know, if anybody's drinking every day, you know they got a problem. If they need a, if they need drink for to function in life, they need to go to counseling. And you can't fix them. If God can't fix them, you can't fix them. The next person that tried to get in, they won't admit it. They'll lie about it. But you know if they're, you know if they're drinking, they're cheating, because that's just part of that process. You already know it, but you ain't putting up with it. And you tell them, say, oh, you can't fool the universe. The universe is giving all the signs. All the signs are there. And so you walk away and you're done. And they're still trying to play games, and eventually it wears out. And then they finally say, well, then God starts to bless you again because you got away from a dark entity, devil, demon, Jezebel, psychopath. And God starts to bless you and give you your peace back, which you had all along, but they were trying to steal your peace. And you knew it. And then you start to be blessed, and God has given you some new visions, insights, health, wealth, and peace. And they look at you and say, oh, the tables are turned. No, the tables turned day one. The tables turned on day one, but only by the grace of God did he give you a little bit of time to see the truth in a person who embodies the truth, to wake you up that you need to change. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to get worse. You walk away from the liar, the gamer, the player, the actor, the actress. You walk away from this entity and you step back in grace. See, they're under law. They're under the dispensation of law. That's why they're trying to be good enough. And they want you to please them and be good enough. And they were trying to please you. Just be yourself. See, they are actors because they're not under the age of grace where they can just be themselves because God forgave them. They're under guilt, shame, condemnation, law, and they're actors because they're trying to please you and they want you to please them, and you're just pleasing God. And they think the tables have turned. No, they just start to see the real you. And they start to see the real them. Because this next person, or the next one, or the fourth one, or the fifth one, or the however many they sleeping with, the fifth one has showed them, each person they cycle through, they start to see us, maybe it's not these other people, maybe it's me. And they start to look in the mirror, and they don't like the mirror, so they break the mirror. So they look at you and say, oh, the tables have turned. I'm being cursed. No, you were cursed from the get-go. You just didn't know it. And God had to show you by sending a truther into your life to wake your insanity, your self-destructive, self-sabotaging, insane way of thinking, to try to wake you up. But you're not able to be introspective because your pride and your stubbornness and your rebellion towards God, and the table's not. They've always been turned because you're projecting your junk onto other people.